Blog Talk Radio.
My show didn't work out last time for you, but it is good to be here, and I thank you for listening in. Whether or not you listen live, online, or in on-demand situation, I thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart. I do appreciate it because it does show on the numbers. If you have a question or a comment tonight, I invite you to dial that phone number, 646-787-8638, and press the number one button that will show me that you have your hand in the air and you have a question or a comment. To get in touch with Keeper right here on Keeper's Mind Pool. You know, there's a couple of different conversations that I'm going to have tonight. And if you can hear my bird, always make a noise whenever any other kind of noise is going on in the house. So just please bear with him. Couple things tonight. I want to talk about some things political. I want to talk about some things philosophical. And I am a conservative person. I like the way things are supposed to be when it comes to our government, and I know that they're not, so that's obviously one of the political things. And it just infuriates me when we have this double standard. Some people get prosecuted, some people don't. Because if anybody, you know, outside of the political forum or not in the elite status were to do what was done, and I mean, you could pick something right now in the headlines of the appropriate media. And I'm not talking about Russian collusion because that is just straight bullshit. There wasn't any. They haven't found any. It's been a year and a half, and they still haven't found any kind of collusion. And they're putting their fingers into a whole bunch of other things that are outside the purview of the original investigation into Trump collusion with Russia. So there's that. Sean Hannity getting lumped in with Michael Cohen. our president's personal attorney just doesn't seem right or fair. Doesn't seem relevant to the investigation of collusion to Russians. There's been no evidence of it. And they want to stick their fingers in to everything that they possibly can because they don't want Trump to be president anymore. They are expecting a landslide victory. The Democratic Party is expecting a landslide victory here coming up in the next general election, a senatorial election in November. If your state votes great, go vote for conservative, go vote for a Republican or somebody that is not only posing or is not simply there just because they want to collect a paycheck and not actually do a damn thing, because that's what it seems like a whole bunch of them are up there doing, not a damn thing, just collecting the paycheck. And they get to collect that stuff for the rest of their life. And 80% of them are out of touch. So there's that. One of the interesting fights politically that I am paying attention to is the one between Nick Freitas, E.W. Jackson, and Corey Stewart. And they're having a primary vote here in June, I believe it is, the GOP, to decide which of those three candidates or another, Johnny-come-lately person, is going to run up against Tim Kaine in November. And Tim Kaine, honestly, just needs to go. Just be gone. Just get out. You've got and done nothing since you've been there. So go away. Don't like you, don't want you. Shouldn't have been there. You ran with Hillary and tried to be her vice presidential candidate, and she sucked anyway. So we're just riding on her coattails, and you suck too. So I'll just throw that out there. Sean Hannity, that whole thing, if anybody actually ever listens to his show, you would already automatically know that him and Michael Cohen are friends or were friends or whatever, but Sean Hannity not ever paid him a dime for anything at all. So he's not his client. Sean Hannity is not Michael Cohen's client. And they threw his name all over media. Oh, he's a bad guy. If Donald Trump's a thug and Michael Cohen's in the mafia, then Sean Hannity must be too. Are you kidding me? Really? These are all just distractions. The Stormy Daniels thing, a distraction. The new recommendations for prosecution sent to the Attorney General, just a sidebar. Nothing's ever going to come of it, whether it's against McCabe or any other one of them, or whoever, even though we already know they already be in jail or being prosecuted for breaking laws that if anybody else was on the other side would be going to jail for. And lastly, why is it that radio show hosts do talk radio? I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. Because it's obviously not for fame, unless you're like somebody like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. And if you ever listen to, National Public Radio, NPR, what are they doing it for? I mean, maybe they're getting a paycheck. I mean, it would be wonderful if I was getting a paycheck for doing this, but I'm not. I'm here just about every week, and I've been doing this for that length of time, just about every week for about 2.5-3 years. But why is it that we do it? So, it's not for fame. We're not worried about being famous. I've been in the newspaper a couple of times here locally in the state of Virginia. Okay, whoopee you. My 15 minutes of fame, so to speak. I've interviewed some really great people. Jeanette Finnicum, Dave Bray, who else? Gee, there's been a number of people. Casey Massey's been on my show, and he's recently, just to let everybody know, recently he's been released from federal prison and he's really kind of pissed off. And you need to check him out on Patriot Nation Radio here on Blog Talk Radio coming up this Monday. He's pissed, and he's telling a whole bunch of people some things that they probably don't want to hear and are not ready to hear because they're still sitting behind their computer screen being keyboard warriors and not getting out there to do a damn thing. A lot of it is about numbers, just straight, plain numbers. And that's all you need. Recently, actually last Saturday, we had a national gun rights rally across the board. And it was, well, theoretically, across the board. When I say that, I mean in every state in the United States. And there was the national average, I guess, is about 600 people nationally. And some had huge numbers, like 12 to 1,500. Some had 400 or 500. Some had 200. Some had, you know, 100 or whatever it happened to be. But the thing is that it was a not very well publicized event, which is fine. And for that, that number of people to show up is really incredible. So when you look at this thing, the number of people that showed up to this event is a pretty sizable army. And if they were all in one place, the federal government would be worried about it. But if you have that many people showing up all in one place in all these different states, that certainly does send a message. And the media is not going to talk about that, obviously. They're not ever going to talk about it. They're not going to bring it to light or anything like that. And if they do, it's going to get some kind of a downplayed number of people. And I have consistently seen reports coming out of the local newspapers here in Virginia where that 400 to 500 people is like down to like 100 to 50 people. And that's simply not the case. I've seen the videos, I've talked to people individually, and I know that it was somewhere between 400 and 500 people that showed up. And in Virginia, that's just Virginia, in Richmond. So why is it that we host radio programs like this? Why do we sit there and talk? And oftentimes are talking to nobody. Unless you're picking it up on demand later, which I appreciate, as I said. Well, because people got to hear the truth about a lot of things, and you're not going to get that from your televised news. You're just simply not going to. In often cases, you're not going to hear it on like ABC News radio blurbs and talk shows. You know, you got to look for yourself. You've actually got to go through the steps of looking the information up for yourself. And I have said this many, many, many times. You've got to do it yourself. Don't rely on me. Don't rely on Hannity. Don't rely on Limbaugh. Don't rely on Glenn Beck or Bill O'Reilly or Megyn Kelly or, yeah, these are all people that have been on Fox and have been harassed and harassed and harassed until they've like either buckled and gone away. But the reason that, you know, they've been attacked is because they're actually telling the truth. And people don't seem to get that. I'm probably going to do a truncated show again this week. There's some things I got to take care of, so we'll see about doing maybe an hour. So Sean Hannity, because he is popular, he's actually the number one television program on Fox News right now. And the reason he's number one is because he was one of the few that was breaking the story about all this behind-the-scenes things, and he was always talking about the deep state. And the evidence is coming forward that he was actually right. And he's not a journalist. The dude has not ever stepped foot in a college of journalism. He's not a journalist. And, you know, maybe he's an entertainer or whatever, you know, you want to call it. But the dude is speaking the truth because the left is all over him. And, you know, trying to eliminate him, trying to get him off the air, trying to get him off TV. But his numbers are outrageous. And, of course, Fox is not going to get rid of that. They love that controversy because it brings people to the attention. Oh, well, hey, well, maybe we should be paying attention to Fox. Which, dude's telling the truth. And, you know, to be vindicated after saying a certain thing for so long and be vindicated about it, that's very telling. It really, really is. So, I mean, I wish I was like Sean Hannity, you know, had a radio program and a TV program. That'd be awesome. But I ain't that good. Sure, I can talk. I can have a conversation. And I'm pretty good about being able to handle myself in social situations. But I'm nowhere near as popular, obviously, as Sean Hannity. I don't get the numbers. I used to get a whole bunch of numbers, but I don't get the numbers anymore because I went away, had to do my own thing, took care of some stuff, and now I'm back, but people forgot about me, so to speak. And I get occasional callers that have some pertinent information to share, and I love that. I want people to question what I'm talking about so I can go, oh, okay, well, let me look that up because I don't know. I don't mind it. If you're listening online, again, the number is 646-787-8638. Press the number 1 button if you've got a question or a comment. Or would simply like to be a part of the program, help me bounce some things around the proverbial pool and have some fun. And in light of that, we're going to take just a little bit of a break so that I don't know. I just feel like it. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. Plenty more Keeper's Mind Pool right after this. Disturbed right there, the Sound of Silence. And if you don't know who originally did that, that would be Simon and Garfunkel. Doing the cover, Disturbed, they did an excellent job. We kind of go back to some very interesting things from back in the day. So if you don't know who Disturbed is, you need to get in touch with them. They do a more heavy sound than that normally. So if you like some hard headbanging kind of stuff, go check out Disturbed. This thing going on here in Virginia with Corey Stewart, E.W. Jackson, and Nick Freitas. There was an article in the Washington Post, who was pretty biased, way left-leaning, way liberal-minded in their reporting. And I just... Anytime I read that stuff, I have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt. Because I know the Washington Post and the way they lean, I view them taking these comments from E.W. Jackson, who is running against Corey Stewart and Nick Freitas for the GOP primary opportunity to run against Tim Kaine in the November election for state Senate of Virginia. I'm looking at this thing, and I see them as his comments, E.W. Jackson's comments specifically, as obviously inflammatory, trying to bring attention to himself, more so obviously than Corey Stewart, who is also very, very, very outspoken. But I don't think that Mr. Jackson comparing Corey Stewart as a mini-me of Trump is actually going to do the thing that he probably hopes it does, which is trying to cast Corey Stewart in a bad light. And since he didn't elaborate on any other of his comments about Mr. Stewart, I don't think that they hold too much weight. I think they were just designed to get Mr. E.W. Jackson's name in on a broader forum, which is exactly what they did. But then the Washington Post is using them to slam both of them in a certain way, because E.W. Jackson's views are certainly not very liberal. They're certainly not very conservative. They're very, his views are away, about as far away from politically correct as you can get. He thinks that homosexuals are mentally disturbed. Okay, maybe they are, maybe they're not. He thinks that cross-dressers are the same way. Maybe they are, maybe they are not. But it is not up to him to decide, but he is going based upon his own personal stance.
standpoint, his own personal view, and some people like that. And I get it. I understand. But I don't think that labels are such a good thing to be throwing around when it comes to dealing with representing a whole bunch of people within the state of Virginia, because I just don't see that as a good thing. You know, here in America, you're free to believe, free to do, be, act any way that you pretty much feel, except when you go shoot up a school, then you should be shot. And it's usually people that are mentally sideways anyway. But I don't think there's been a whole bunch of gay guys or gay women or cross-dressing guys or cross-dressing women shooting up schools lately. It's just been people that are mentally deranged anyway. I mean, if Mr. Jackson's, you know, comments, if he hopes those comments are designed to get people to shy away from Corey Stewart as a candidate for running against, you know, Tim Kaine, calling him mini Trump, I don't think he's checked the numbers of Donald Trump, the approval rating, and, you know, how people actually think that he's doing a good job. And if people didn't think that he was actually doing a good job, Fox's numbers wouldn't be through the roof. CNN is all but defunct. The only ratings they have are in airports right now because they have a contract with airports to put CNN on in airports. In case people didn't know that one, and I'm sure you probably didn't. You know, see, I like to drop these little tidbits of information like that because it sounds like I know what the hell I'm talking about when I really don't. Even though that is actually true about CNN and these contracts with airports. So let me toot my own horn just a little bit. I try not to, but just a little bit. So right now, I'm still gray area about Corey Stewart. I'm definitely not going to be voting for Nick Freitas. No, not going to happen. And both the two front runners, at least in my personal view, to me, are Corey Stewart and this E.W. Jackson guy, who the Washington Post called a firebrand. And if you don't know what a firebrand is, you'll have to look it up, because it's also known as a fag, which is a little stick or a stick on fire. And they used to use fags back in the day to light the gas torches in Great Britain, formerly known as England. Well, way back in the day, that's where the term originated from, fag, which was, you know, it went from a lit stick or a lighted stick or torch or something like that you throw in a fireplace or light something with. Then it became a cigarette because it was lit. And now, obviously, it's, you know, I don't know if it's derogatory or not, calling somebody a fag. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, and I really don't care because I'm not trying to offend anybody, but still. If you know the definition of something from its original place and you use it accordingly, theoretically, hopefully, people can follow along with the conversation you're having. But if you just throw it out there, like if I said nigger right now, everybody would be like, oh my God, he said the N-word. Because I'm using it out of context, or am I? See, these are the reasons why I do talk radio, because I want people to think. I want to get people thinking about anything. Have intellectual thought, intellectual conversations. I mean, if you're into politics, think about it. Go learn some stuff. And don't come from an emotional place, because coming from an emotional place does not do anything. It's like you burned your hand on the stove and like you, oh my gosh, well, we can't have stoves anymore because I just burned my hand. It doesn't work that way. Or shouldn't work that way, and unfortunately, that's the way it seems to be working. Labels, you know, they divide people along a presumed thought. And I'm fine being a conservative. You can label me a conservative. That's fine. I'm not worried about that. But I'm talking about all the other stuff. The overgeneralization of anything or any thought or any one or group of persons, you know, ways of thinking, when you generalize, you you lose so much value in what it is that people are trying to express or talk about. And I mean, it's even true with National Public Radio, like I was saying before. National Public Radio, when you hear any one of the programs on National Public Radio, they sound so calm, so confident, and they articulate and enunciate everything so well that you must assume that, that what they're talking about is the absolute truth. But anytime I listen to National Public Radio, I'm looking at this and listening to this going, do people actually enjoy this stuff? When I do my talk show, I'm wondering, do people actually enjoy what I'm talking about? And sometimes they do, because I'll come up with something that's like completely off the wall. Like this complete acceptance of, well, almost complete acceptance of transgender people wanting to use whatever bathroom that they're identifying with at the time. And it's actually a hell of a process. Because, and this is where I am. I needed to learn more about this stuff, find out really what was going on. And the thing is that if you at an early age feel this way, you should begin that process. And I don't know if it's because of social programming that you may feel this way, or because you were influenced by your parents or not influenced by your parents. Maybe you didn't have a awesome father figure or an awesome, you know, mother figure, whatever it happened to be. But it is a lengthy process. You got to go to mental health counseling, that you got to go to physical counseling, and that has to be continued, because if you're going from a guy to a girl, you're killing the testosterone making things in your body, and you're taking estrogen to transform yourself. But sorry, you're still a guy. You have to have the ongoing thing, because you have to have the ongoing counseling, because it is such a dramatic change. You know, your body naturally is going to do what it's going to do, and you're trying to stop your body from doing that. So there's going to be weird chemical reactions, and you're going to react to things different ways. You're introducing another substance into your system that is intended to change your mental attitude, your physical attitude, your physical well-being as much as possible. And that's going to mess with your head. So, of course, you got to go to counseling, and hopefully you don't kill yourself. I mean, most of us at some point in our life, whether it was junior high school or high school, or, you know, early mid-20s or something like that, who am I? What am I supposed to be? Should I do this or should I do that? Who, you know, what kind of person am I? We're trying to figure out who we are and why we should, or whether or not we should do the things that we do, or be the way that we are, or how can I feel comfortable with who I am if nobody else accepts me for who I am? And if I, you know, do this, are people going to look at me differently? Well, yeah, of course they're going to look at you differently. You were a guy, now you're a girl, or you were a girl, now you're a guy. Of course they're going to look at you differently. So you have to go through that counseling to help you adapt to what everybody else is thinking, or whatever everybody else might be thinking or feeling, or how they may react to you. Instead of simply accepting you're a guy, you're a girl, and move around, because that's the way that things were designed. Just because dolphins try and have gay sex by, you know, a male putting it in the blowhole of another male, that doesn't make either one of them gay. It doesn't work like that. They don't think about that. Only humans are conscious or are capable of actual cognitive thought such as that. That's why we're sentient. I mean, it just is. But nobody thinks along those lines, because we don't have the proper training. Life doesn't come with an instruction manual. You got to figure it out for yourself. You know, like Cooper said in Interstellar, to his kid. I'm not always going to be there for you. You're just going to have to figure it out. Yeah, sure, it's difficult. Being a teenager is difficult, blah, blah, blah. You think you know everything, and you really don't know a damn thing. You don't have enough life experience to be able to, you know, try and change the world. You don't know that life is actually tougher outside of school. And people are going to be meaner to you later, maybe. Oh, school is so tough. Nobody likes me. Well, guess what? There's probably a reason they don't like you. Well, why don't you do some self-reflection and figure out why they don't like you? Trying to figure out why it is that women like guys that are assholes instead of guys that are nice. Is it some kind of weird thing where, you know, they think they can, you know, change them into a nice guy? Well, then that's not the guy that you liked in the first place. I mean, how the hell does that stuff, how does it work? It just, it does not make sense to me. Time there's some big thing we have to go through some kind of special training. Everybody has to do it now because one person screwed it up. Take Starbucks, for instance. This whole Starbucks thing where these two black guys, they walked into a Starbucks and they asked to use the restroom, but the manager wouldn't give them the code because they weren't buying anything. Some white dude walked in there, gave them the code, no problem. Well, it could have been an instance where they knew the white guy. He'd been in there many times before, always brought something. Maybe this time he didn't or couldn't or was like in a hurry and he was like on his way from place. But they'd never seen these two other characters before. And then, so now everybody, they're going to shut down Starbucks for a day, every store. Well, as soon as they get all the logistics combined and in place and everything to make sure that everybody has the same kind of curriculum, they're going to shut down every Starbucks store for a day. So they can go to sensitivity training because one person at one store in Philadelphia denied the use of a bathroom to a couple of characters they probably never saw before. And then you have the police commissioner, after defending the police officer's decision to arrest these guys, apologizing to him because I'm sure he's probably trying to go, oh, well, I don't want a lawsuit, so I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I mean, are you going to buy anything? Most places don't want you to use the bathroom unless you're going to buy something. That's always been my presumption. Anyway, they don't have to provide a bathroom like you're in Wales where Wales or Scotland, I think I'm pretty sure it's Wales, where if somebody knocks on your door and they ask to use the bathroom, you have to let them. It is a law there. That's not how it works here. It's never been that way. I mean, if you got to go to a bathroom, go to McDonald's, go to Hardee's, go to Wiener Schnitzel, go to Taco Bell, go to Wendy's, Burger King, whatever. Because you can go in, drop a deuce or whatever, blow the hell up out of the bathroom, and move on. I mean, why is there a code on the bathroom door at a Starbucks anyway? Oh, well, we have to make sure that nobody puts graffiti on the walls. What, just because these two guys are black, you think they're going to write all over the walls? Shut up. That's completely racist. That is so profiling like you would not believe. The two guys that were arrested claimed that they were, you know, like waiting on a business meeting. Okay, well, it could have been drugs. You don't know.
We don't know much about them.
And then, on top of it all, you had this comedian guy, if you haven't seen this video or heard the audio from it, this comedian guy walk into a Starbucks, oh, yeah, I'm looking for reparations for, you know, blah, blah, blah. And some chick, manager, whoever, oh, yeah. I saw something about that on my Twitter. I mean, really, what the fuck? Really? I'll get you a coffee. And he's like, yeah, see, that's justice. This is justice right here. No, it's not. It's plain and simple acceptance of being a victim. Period. That's how I see it. That's the way I see it, plain and simple. Because if it was anybody else that was denied the use of the bathroom, oh, okay, well, shit, all right, I'll just go, like, next door. But it got played up because they're black. Oh!
There's no authority.
Well, you know what? Maybe that person, the manager of that particular Starbucks, who no longer works for them, by the way, was a racist prick. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was following a store policy that is very little known, that unless you buy something, you can't use the restroom. It just, the shit doesn't compute anymore. We're so worried about appearances. And when I was in high school, I didn't care. I got to a point where I did not give a shit about appearances anymore. I'm going to be me, and I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. You know, we want to fit into these social norms now. And people think I'm disconnected. Yeah, I'm almost 50 years old. People think I'm disconnected, but I pay attention to a whole world of things. And the problem is, like, with who doesn't remember cliques in high school, even junior high school? If you weren't part of the right clique, you didn't get the good stuff. Or you were cast out or whatever it was. That's how our Congress is working right now. That's how our political system is working right now. And it just, it infuriates me that people don't see it. And if they do see it, they shrug it off like, oh, that's just the way things are. Bullshit. Do something about it. Change it. All this crap about bullies. What do you do? What are you going to do to stop a bully? Punch him in the face because he's bullying you? We all turned out fine. But no, we got to address why he's being a bully or why she's being a bully. Okay, well, yeah, do that too. I made some of the best friends by beating the heck out of a bully that was messing with me. We're looking at about 17 minutes to the top of the hour. If you have a question or a comment and you would like to be part of the program, please dial the phone number 646-787-8638. And press the number one button to be able to the program. We'll see about getting you live right here on Keeper's Mindful. So, again, why is it that I do talk radio? Why do I take the time from other things that I could be doing to do this? Do I enjoy it? Yeah, I have fun. I don't mind it. I've been doing it for 2.5-3 years, like I said earlier in the show. And I try and bring people things that are relevant and right now, like the Starbucks thing. And I throw my take on it. Because people don't always see the other side of what's going on. I don't always. I freely admit it. But I try and look at things in such a fashion and bring things to people's attention that they may not have thought about. I'm not interested in an echo chamber. I want people to question what I say and why I think the way I think, because that's the only way to have intelligent conversations to be able to gain a better understanding, number one. Why is it that somebody thinks that the monument should come down versus why is it that somebody thinks that the monument should stay up? That's one of the big things that's going on. This is the whole gun control thing. You know, the kids in Parkland, Florida, their school got shot up. And their movement kind of got bastardized or you know, it actually kind of got whored out by all these other organizations. We'll help you and we'll do this and we'll do this. We can help you get organized and everything. And, you know, then they use that whole agenda for their own political gain or their own political drive or purpose. You know, these kids, they have something great to say. I can understand where they're coming from. But, again, they don't have the life experience to be able to get that kind of thing to happen. Guns actually do save lives. In your house, on the street, you never hear about the times where somebody actually had to pull a gun, defend themselves because they came at them with something else, or they came at them with a gun or a knife or a baseball bat or whatever it was. They were concealed carrying or open carrying, and that was a deterrent. That was enough of a gut check moment for whoever it was that was looking to do something bad. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, I don't want to. Why does it happen in schools? Because there's no guns allowed in schools. Know that there was somebody in that school with a gun. Would you think twice about going in there trying to go kill other people? Probably, because you don't want to die. You just want to go, like, shoot a bunch of people because you're mentally unstable. You forgot your meds. It's plain and simple, really, what's been breaking down in the last number of school shootings. The church. This white dude got painted as a white supremacist. Whether or not he was, I don't care. Shot up a church. Dude was a member of the church. So how can he be a white supremacist when the congregation is mixed race? That's a double standard. I mean, when I first moved to Virginia, there's a church here. And one of the guys that I was working with described it to me. And I knew what he was talking about before he even mentioned any of the rest of what I'm about to tell you. Here down on this road, this church, you know, we passed the grounds on your way down to such and such place. Okay, I got where he's talking about. And he said, the black church, well, it's a white church, but, you know, it's like the congregation's black. I didn't care. I don't care. But like I said, I knew what he was talking about before he even, you know, put the racial identifiers out there. I don't care. Most people don't. There's some, you know, behind the time thinking people that do. And I still hear stories in my local community about when there were signs in certain places that said, "Don't let the sun fall down on your black ass in this neighborhood." I don't get it. It's just ignorant, straight ignorant people. When I was a kid, 13 years old, I had not ever heard nigger before. And for some reason it was on TV and somebody was making an issue about it. So I wanted to figure out, okay, well, what does this mean? And I went to a dictionary and I looked it up. N-I-G-G-E-R. And the definition, the number one definition, and there were no others, was a person not worthy of being spat upon. Didn't mention race of any kind. And I'm not really sure where that term comes from unless it happens to be, you know, the people from Niger, N-I-G-E-R, where, you know, people here in the United States or in Great Britain or whoever the slave traders were couldn't pronounce it correctly, which is Niger. And it just became that thing. But hearing it now, and it's you know, the term has been, you know, tried to it's tried to be used as a term of endearment. You know, what's up, my nigga? What's up, man? How you doing? All that stuff, right? And it's okay for black people to say it to other black people, but if anybody else says it to black people, it's like, that's bad. But you guys continue to use that word, and I say you guys, I mean black people, yes. Continue to use that word when you don't want anybody else to use it. You want to own that word? I don't understand that thinking either, that way of doing the thing. And all this negativity, you know, when the name stuff, you know, why is it that any female would be comfortable being called a bitch? Unless it's like girls having a conversation. And they do it jokingly, the same way that, you know, nigga has tried to be, you know, used as a term of endearment. That I can kind of get. And again, thinking about it and saying it out loud, having a chance to actually hear it bounce off of my own way of thinking, I can kind of get it in the context of, you know, two guys talking to each other. Hey, man, what's up, my nigga? How you doing? I get it. Same thing with my female friends. If we're laughing and joking and carrying on, I'll call them a bitch. they know it's not meant derogatorily. And if they take it that way, hey, I've not ever meant it that way with my female friends. Because you have that rapport, that way of talking to each other and dealing with each other. So I get that on that other level. But when you know, white people are walking down the street and, you know, two black guys are like hanging out, talking to each other, and my nigga this and my nigga that. And it's like, dude, really? You got to use it that many times? If you don't want a word to be used, don't use it. Like, we're not supposed to use retarded anymore either, because it's too derogatory. Well, if you talk